Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur in the middle of Daf Mem Gimel, if you prefer, 21 lines from the top, but for many it might be easier just to note the two dots that you find in the middle of Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara will begin with the words Boi Rav Chananya. But before we begin the actual Gemara text, let us glance at the side and take advantage of one of our features in the Shas Ozer, our topic headings. In this case, the Nosei, the topic heading, we have written underneath it, Yesh Tchumin Lamalo Me'asora O Ein. The concept of a Tchum, of the 2,000 Amo restriction that exists on Shabbos with regard to how far a person can walk outside of his community, is this din of Tchum applicable to that which is above 10 tefachim from the ground? Or is the whole concept of tchum limited to being on the ground or within 10 tefachim of the ground? Now, that might sound a bit esoteric. We will attempt to make it more realistic as we continue in the Gemara. So let's open with the Gemara's question. This is a long question, and hence we see the shin that's encircled. That's a sheila, a question. Boi Rav Chananya, yesh tchumin lamala me'asara, does the prohibition or restriction of tchum exist at an area or at a height of more than 10 tvachim? Oi, ein tchumin lamala me'asara. Or is the whole idea of tchum limited to when you are within 10 tvachim of the ground? The Gemara presents two scenarios. One of them is obvious to the Gemara. Amud Gavoa Asora V'Rochav Arba'a. Imagine a platform or a pole that has the height of 10 tefachim and it measures on its surface 4 by 4 tefachim. And this Amud, this pillar, is at the very edge of someone's tchum, whereby half of it is within his 2,000 amas, and the other half is outside his 2,000 amas. So, lo tiboy aloch, this is not a question. Da'aro smichtohi. It's considered like the ground itself. And hence, if one were, let us to say, step up onto this platform or this pillar with these dimensions, he would be restricted to only the half that's within his tchum. The Rashi says, "Ba'omud gavoa asora v'rochav arbo v'nichnas roshoi echol desoicha tchum lo tiboy aloch." The isur tchumin nohegbo. There's no question that the isur of tchum is relevant to that. V'lo yale al rosho shebesocha tchum v'yetzei l'rosho acher. He should not arise or ascend this pillar to the side or the end that's within his tchum, and then walk on it to the other half that's outside of his tchum. And why is this obvious? This is something that is fit for walking on, and therefore it's obviously part of the Isur of Tchumen. The Gemara goes on to say, when does the question arise? If you had, imagine a pole that has 10 tefachim of height to it, v'eino rochav arba, and at the top of it, it does not measure 4 by 4 tefachim. So it's not it's what Rashi calls lo nicho tashmishte. It's not useful, not comfortable to walk on such a thing. So that would be a question. How does the Isur of Tchum figure regarding such an entity? Inami, another application of this question would be de kazil bekvitza. The term kvitzo, Rashi says, kvitzo b'shem, mi havi hiluch oiloi. This is something that might be a bit mystical, but it has to do with one who knows the ineffable name of the Almighty, and in uttering it, he's able to transfer his location. If you will, fly, or some type of, in science fiction terms, maybe some type of energy transfer, whereby you disconnect your molecules and reassemble them somewhere else through the use of the Shem Hashem. Is that kind of travel under the restriction of Tchum, or maybe not? Apparently, from the context of this Gemara, it would appear that one who travels, who alters his location through the use of the ineffable name of the Almighty, he is transferring his location or traveling at a height of more than 10 tefachim from the ground. So it would be in a case like that that the question would arise. Lishno achrino, another version of this is besfino mai. Rashi explains that your standard boat floats at a level that is more than 10 tefachim from the water bed, whether the river bed or ocean floor. And hence the whole issue of traveling on a boat, being that it measures more than 10 tefachim from the ground. It's like kvitza. And if you say that there is no tchum above 10 tefachim, so the travel on the boat would not be a problem regarding tchum. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice triangles that appear, and if you scan ahead, you'll notice that they assume different directions as the sugya unfolds. This marking scheme using the triangles will continue down, a third of the way down Omid Beis as well. So, under our Mivneh heading, we've noted Nisyonos Livshot Deyesh, with the triangle point facing up, so that these will be attempts to show that there is an Isser of Tchum. The Tchum is a consideration, or Tchum entails a height of more than 10 Tfachim as well, and with the triangle inverted, that is saying Ein, that there is no Tchum Lamala Me'asara. The double underline will also be featured in our markings, Hadgoshas Shnei Avshoros B'chol Nisyon Hanal. We'll be emphasizing the two possibilities as each attempt is presented. So now the Gemara. After the question is raised, Omar Rav Hoshaya, Toshma, let us try to bring proof from the following. Maisi Shibo, Mifandrasin, this is the case featured in the Mishnah with the Tanoim on a boat. They had left Foundrasin, Vifligos Vinosim Bayom, Vichule, and they found themselves in the heart of the sea, on the high seas. And there was an issue. Could they walk within the entire boat, or are they restricted to four amos? E amos bishlamo yesh tchumin. If you say that there is a concept of tchum, or the reality of tchum applies even more than 10 tefachim from the ground, mishum hachi rotsu, then in that story, where we didn't read the entire source, but in that story, it was pointed out that Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva rotsu lahachmir al atzmon, and this you can see is quoted above, and in order to help make it easier to find, you can use the little arrow that we have to the right hand side of the Gemara text and align it with the arrow above. And you can see there in the sources cited above, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Kiva wanted to impose upon themselves a stringency. And why is that? Because they were worried about the tchum issue above 10 tefachim. Elo iamris ein tchumin. If you say, however, there is no tchum prohibition above 10 tefachim, amai rotsu, then why did they want to impose on themselves any stringency? There's no isur, even if the boat were come to a standstill. The Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rava, as Rava said somewhere else, B'mehalech Spirakak, he made a comment regarding a boat floating in a rakak. A rakak is an accumulation of water. You can call it a large puddle, but it's an accumulation of water where the depth is very limited, namely less than 10 tefachim. So it's talking. So Hochanami, using Rava's explanation elsewhere, applying it over here, the Mishnah was speaking about their boat was in a very shallow section of water, or a very shallow body of water that we call a rakak, and therefore it was within 10 tefachim of the ground, and therefore there would be a tum consideration. So that doesn't answer our question, because we're looking for a case of something above 10 tefachim from the ground. Toshma, so we attempt to show again that there is tchum in lamala me'asora. Pa'amachas lo nichnesu lanomol ad shechashecha. Again, a continuation of the Mishnah where they were on the boat and the boat didn't enter the port until after Shabbos set in, until after darkness. And the issue was, can they disembark, or were they within the tchum of the port when Shabbos set in or not? So, I amris bishlamo yesh tchumin. If you say very well that there is a tchum restriction above 10 tefachim shapir, then there is room for their concern regarding their having possibly left their tchum. Elo, I amris ein tchumin. If you say, however, there are no tchumin lamala me'asora, ki lo hayinu besocha tchum mayhavi, even if they weren't within the tchum of the port at the onset of Shabbos, what difference would it make? They were not violating tchum by virtue of the fact that they were above 10 tefachim. But you see from here that since they were concerned about their having been near the port or not, that the din of tchum applies above 10 tefachim as well. Here we see Rava quoted at his original statement, Omar Rava b'maleches b'rakak. The case involving the boat in the Mishnah was a boat that was traveling in very shallow water that we call rakak, that it was within 10 tefachim. Hence the issue of were they within the tum of the port but when Shabbos set in or not becomes a serious question. But as far as we are concerned, the case there doesn't involve lamala me asara, above 10. Toshma. Now here you'll notice how the triangle flips over, so the thrust of this section is now to show that there is no problem of tchum above 10. Toshma, hani shev shmaitza, dis amron bitzafro b'shabato kamei derav chizdo besura. There were seven shmaitza, seven teachings, seven laws that were taught or recited in the presence of Rav Chisda in Surah and on Shabbos morning in Surah. Surah is a community, a town, a city in Bavel. And Bahadi Panya B'Shabbato Kameide Rabo B'Pomadisa. Those same seven halachas were then recited in front of Rabo in Pomadisa Shabbos afternoon. Now, these cities are far away from one another that you couldn't go from one to another even with an Eruvei Tchumen. They were far away from one another. Man Amrinu, who was the one that recited these seven halachas in the morning in front of Rav Chisda and Sura, in the afternoon in front of Rabo in Pumbedisa? Lav Elio Amrinu, is it not that Elio Hanovi, the famous prophet Eliyahu, that is able to move from place to place as an angel at great distances, Almo, and if Elio was in fact the one reciting these halachas, and he was going from Surah to Pumbedisa, which are two towns at great distance from one another, Almo ain't tchum in lamala me'asora. This would show us that there is no tchum restriction above 10, and Elio as an angel was flying at a height of more than 10 tefachim from the ground, and since there is no tum restriction when you are above 10, he was able to go from Surah to Pumbedisa on Shabbos. The Gemara says, Loi, Dilma Yosef Shida Amrinu. Maybe it was Yosef the shade, the demon, who is not he's not concerned with Shabbos observance, and he being that he is also a spiritual body, he was able to travel these great distances, but being that he is the one that communicates the halachos, he might in fact be a Shabbos violator, and that tchumen really do exist above 10, but that wasn't enough, that wasn't something that was going to stop Yosef Shida from traveling anyway. So this is not conclusive. Toshma, we try to bring a proof that there are tchumen above 10, and we do so by quoting from this Tanaic source. Hareini nozir biyom sheben David ba. A person accepts upon himself the vow of nazirus, abstinence from wine, and all the halachas that are entailed as part of a nazir, and he says, I will be a nazir on the day sheben David ba, on the day that the Moshiach comes. Well, what halachas now apply to this nazir? So mutar lishtos yayin b'shabosus u'b'yomim tovim, the osur lishtos yayin kol yomoy sachol. This person who accepted nazirus on himself, tying it in, making it the contingent upon the day that Ben David comes, we say he is allowed to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now the Gemara analyzes. We're at the top of Omid Beis, and just to note the markings that we see, the house marking will appear in two different directions. And on the side, under the Mivneh heading, we note that this is a Ma'akav Achar Masu Maton im Yesh Mikan Hoichocha Shiesh Tchumin Lamala Me'asora. The alternating directions of these houses will be just to keep track of the give and take. And with the point facing up, Hoichocha, this is a proof that there is a Tchum issue above 10 tefachim, and when the house form is flipped over, that's a dechia, a rejection of what had been said. So the Gemara continues. E amres bishlamo yesh tchumin, if you say that there is a tchum restriction above 10 tefachim, hainu de bishabosus uvimim toivim muter. Therefore, this person who accepted nazirus on the day that Ben David is going to come, well, Moshiach, being that there is a tchum restriction above 10, he, the Moshiach, is not going to come on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because from wherever he's flying in, so to speak, he's coming from a situation of more than 10 tefachim, and since there is an isser of tchum even above 10 tefachim, so he's not going to come on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore this person can safely drink wine, being that that would not fulfill the conditions of his acceptance of the Nazirus. Namely, he accepted Nazirus if on the day that Ben David comes, but Shabbos and Yom Tov would be excluded from that possibility. Elo I amris ein tchumin b'shabosus yomim tovim, amai mutar. Let's read that again. Elo I amris ein tchumin. If you say, however, there is no isur of tchum above 10, then b'shabos yom tovim amai mutar. Why is this person allowed to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Is there not a fear or a possibility, is a much better term, is there not a possibility that the Moshiach may in fact come? The Gemara rejects this proof. Shiny Hossam. That is different. The case of the Moshiach coming is different. Namely, as far as the din of Tchum is concerned, he could show up on Shabbos. In other words, maybe it might be very well that there is no Tchum above 10. So the question then is, if there is no Tchum above 10, why is this person allowed to drink wine on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Shaini Hosam Yom Akro, the Pasuk says, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lochem Esali Anovi V'chulei, that I'm going to send the prophet Elio the day before the Moshiach comes, and V'ha Lo Ose Elio Me'asmol, and the Mishnah is talking about that as a given, that Elio did not come yesterday, he didn't come on Friday. So being that he didn't come on Friday, I know that Shabbos, the Moshiach will not be coming, because the Moshiach's appearance is predicated on a prior appearance of Eliyahu Hanavi. The Gemara asks, "I hachi b'chol kol yomi v'yomi nami lishteri, tahalo osa Eliyahu me'asmol." Well, and every day of the week, this person should be allowed to drink wine, because Eliyahu, again, this person means the person who made his Nazirus contingent on the coming of the Moshiach. They'll become a Nazir on the day that Moshiach comes. Well, any day of the week, let him drink, and yet we don't, but let him drink, because Eliyahu Hanavi didn't come yesterday. Elo, why is it that it's also for him to drink on any given day? Because we say, Elo Amrino lebeist in Agodol Asa, that Eliyahu Hanavi did possibly come yesterday to the great court, to the high court. Hocho Nami. So, by the same token, with regard to Shabbos, Lemo lebeist in Agodol Asa. You argued before that you can drink on Shabbos because Eliyahu Hanavi didn't come the day before. Maybe he did come the day before. Maybe he came on Erev Shabbos to the Beis HaGadol. So why is it mutter for us, for him to drink wine on Shabbos? So it must be because there is a tchum, the issur of tchum applies above 10 tvachim as well. And therefore, even if Eliyahu Hanavi came yesterday, on Friday, to the Beis Din, still the Ben David, the Moshiach, will not come on Shabbos, because that would involve violating Tchum, because Tchum does apply above 10 Tvachim. So at this point, noticing the most recent house marking, the point was facing up, so we are in effect showing you that there is Tchum, the Malame Asorah. The Gemara rejects this. Kvar muftoch len Yisrael she'ein Eliyahu bo lo ba'arvi shabosos v'lo ba'arvi yomim toivim ipnei atoirach. Eliyahu Hanavi will not come on Fridays or Erev Yom Tovs, because people are involved in preparing for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. And if Eliyahu were to come, so it would disturb everyone's preparations, everyone would run out to greet him, and that would impede in the preparation of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So, being that we know Eliyahu Hanavi will not come on Erev Shabbos on Fridays or on Erev Yom Tov, so then the next day on Shabbos itself, Moshiach will not come. And again, his lack of coming is not a function of the tchum extending above 10 tfachim. No, maybe it doesn't. But he still cannot come on Shabbos, because Eliyahu Hanavi would not have come on Friday. We have a bracketed section, and we have a note why we have this in the brackets. So if you look at the start note, we read as follows: Haketa shebesograyim enu kosher l'diun shel tchumin. The section in the brackets isn't related to the issue of tchum. It's not directly related to the issue of tchum. Ela dona b'inyan haneder, but rather it deals with the vow, the nozir vow that we introduced earlier. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will go back to the analysis of whether or not Tchumin applies above 10 Tvachim. With that in mind, let's now look at the bracketed section. Ko Salka Daitoch Midelio Lo Osa. The thought here is that from the fact that Eliyahu will not come on a Friday, Moshiach Nami Lo Osi, Moshiach won't come on a Friday either. If that be the case, so that Friday is a day he won't show up, what was the Nazirite vow that we saw before? That will be a Nazirite on the day that Moshiach does come. But if we make this assumption, just like Eliyahu doesn't come on a Friday, Moshiach also wouldn't show up on a Friday. So Bamali Shabbat Lishteri. So on a Friday, this fellow who took the Nazir vow should be allowed to drink wine, because this is not a day that Moshiach is going to come. The Gemara answers, Eliyahu lo osi, Moshiach osi, the kevon de osi Moshicha, akol avodim hein liYisrael. As far as Friday is concerned, only Eliyahu wouldn't come on a Friday, but the Moshiach would show up on a Friday. Why is that? Because as soon as the Moshiach shows up, the world will be reawakened or awakened to the truth, and know that the Jewish people are the select people and are the ones that are the banner carriers of the Almighty in this world, and therefore they will want to serve, the peoples of the nations of the world will want to serve the Jews, so that when you have many servants in your home to get ready for Shabbos, things will be done very quickly and efficiently, and therefore the Moshiach's arrival on Friday will be reason enough to produce a lot of servants for the Jewish people. And it's obvious then, and therefore the issue of thwarting Shabbos preparations doesn't come up. The Gemara continues. With the inverted triangle, we will be trying to show that there is no tchum above 10 tfachim. And let's see how we do this. Bechad b'shaba lishteri. Why, in the case of the vow, do we say that only Shabbos is mutter? Let it be mutter to drink wine on Sunday. And yet, we say that it's not so. Lifshot mina. Let's conclude from the Mishnah that asurs Sunday from the wine drinking. De'ein tchumin, that there is no tchum restriction above 10 tfachim. Now, from the fact that it's also from to drink wine on Sunday, this shows us that it could be that Eliyahu came yesterday on Shabbos. Now his coming on Shabbos would be proof that there is no tchum restriction above 10 tfachim. So Eliyahu Hanavi, who precedes by a day the coming of the Moshiach, Eliyahu Hanavi could very well have come on Shabbos, laying the grounds for the Moshiach coming on Sunday. And that is why he is not allowed to drink wine on Sunday. So we see from here, by this restriction of wine drinking on Sunday, it must be that Eliyahu came on Shabbos, and he would come from above 10 tfachim, and certainly would not violate Shabbos, showing us that there is no tchum restriction above 10 tfachim. De'i yesh tchum, and the Gemara goes on to say, if there was a tchum restriction above 10 tfachim, b'chad b'shabo lishteri, then on Sunday, this person should be allowed to drink wine, the lo'os Eliyahu b'shabbos, because Eliyahu would not have come on Shabbos. The Gemara responds and says, "Hai Tana Sfuki Mesafka Le Yesh Tchumin O Ein Tchumin U Le Chumra." The Tana, with regard to the vow taken to become a Nozir on the day that Ben David comes, was really in doubt regarding this topic, whether there are Tchumin above 10 or not. And his approach, therefore, since he has a doubt, U Le Chumra, we impose a stringency on this person that vowed to prohibit him from drinking wine even on Sunday, because of the possibility that there is no tchum above 10, enabling Eliyahu to come and setting the grounds for Moshiach to come on a Sunday. But that is not out of a definitive stance, but rather because of a chumrah, because of a doubt, and we want to take the more strict or stringent approach. There is a comment in Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. We have a little star, so we can go directly to see what he says. Umishaninon, Rashi says, Meha lo tifshot de'ein tchumin. From here, we are not going to conclude that there is no tchum above 10. The dilma svuki mesafka leila haitano. Could be that this tana is simply in a state of doubt. The dilma ein tchumin. Maybe there is no tchum restriction above 10. Mishimachi also b'chad b'shabbat l'chumra. And therefore, on Sunday, the fellow cannot drink the wine because Eliyahu may have come on Shabbos day to the Beis Din. Avol mifshat lo pshita le the telif heteramine. But we're not, the Tana doesn't represent a position of certainty that there is no tchum above 10 that would then enable us to learn a heter or leniencies or allowances from such a standpoint. Let us now continue in the Gemara. Dekoi emas dekonodar. Here the Gemara focuses more on the details of the vow. The person who was making the vow, when, where was, what part of the week, what day of the week was he vowing? Ilema dekoi b'choil, if you say that he was making his vow during a weekday. Now, during a weekday, any given weekday is a time the Moshiach could come. So the vow, his Nazirite vow, sets in. Kevon dechal olei Nazirus, so once his Nazirus status sets upon him, he becomes bound to Nazirus, hefi asyu shabbat mifkolei, how could Shabbos come along and undo that? After all, the source said that it's mutter for him to drink wine on Shabbos. But once he becomes bound to being a Nazir, how does the arrival of Shabbos undo the vow that is currently binding him to the wine prohibition? Elo, so rather it must be dekoi b'shabbat v'konodar. The person made the vow on Shabbos proper. U'biyom tov v'konodar. Or he was standing on Yom Tov itself and made his vow, vow hu yuma d'shori lei. And that day alone, the day that he made the vow, being that he made it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, those are days that the Moshiach will not come. So it is then that he is mutter to drink wine. However, mikan v'yelechosur lei. But from the next day onwards, from Sunday onwards, he will not be allowed to drink wine. And when we say from then onwards, it means literally all the time onwards, including the next Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because as we pointed out, it couldn't possibly be that a person would be bound and then Shabbos would, or Yom Tov would come along and undo his restriction. Pa'amachas, lo nichnesu l'nomo, the Mishnah featured a case where the Tanoim had not entered the port until after Shabbos set in. Tana, the source features the looking tube of Rabban Gamliel. This was mentioned already in the Mishnah that Rabban Gamliel had a way of determining distances. The Mishnah said Omar Lahem on the Mishnah on Mem Aleph on the days where Rabban Gamliel said to his colleagues, he said, Mutorim Atem, you can disembark from the boat. Shikvar Hoisi Mistakil, I was looking. The Hoyinu Besoy Chatchum Ad Shelo Chashechon, we were already within the Tchum of the shore before Shabbos set in. So the Mishnah says, Hoisi Mistakil, I was looking. Now, he was looking in what? He was looking in a looking tube. This was a tube that was designed, we'll say, that one who looks through it knew that the furthest point of vision while peering through this tube was, in this case, 2,000 amos. So, being that he, Rabbi Gamliel, looked through the tube and was able to see the shore or the port before Shabbos set in, he knew that he was within 2,000 amos. So the Brisa here elaborates on this. Tana shvofer es hoy selo Rabbi Gamliel shoya mabit vitzofe bo alpayim amo bi abosha. Uchenegdo alpayim bayam. The shfaris is a tube. Rabbi Gamliel had a tube that he would peer through, and he knew that designed the tube with a specific length and diameter. Probably, he knew that when looking through this tube at the furthest visual point that would still be recognizable was 2,000 1,000 amos. And he had made that, he had measured that on the Abosh, on dry land. And then he was, then he used this tube when he was on the, on the sea, on the boat, and was able to, I'm not going to say calculate, because there's no issue of calculation here, but he was able to note that he was within 2,000 amos, even though, you know, as he was still on high seas or still on the water, but he knew that since he could see the port through this tube, that he was within the tum. So this tube was visually calibrated to enable you to see up till a certain distance. Haroitze, there is a series of expressions here. Haroitze, if one wants to, and fill in the rest as we go on. That's why we use the diamond to indicate the series beginning with the word Haroitze. Haroitze, leida, kama oimke shogai. If a person wants to know how deep a canyon is, mevi shoferes, umabit ba, he should bring this tube and peer through it. V'yeda kama omko shogai. And once the tube is calibrated to a certain distance of vision, let us say it was calibrated to see 1,000 amos. But when you look through the tube, because of the dimensions of the tube itself, the length of the tube and its diameter, it was calibrated that you could see no more than 1,000 amos, just using an example. And then he peers down through the canyon, and he can see the bottom of the canyon through the tube. So using the pshat that I saw in the Maloy Horoyim, if this person then were to get on, let us say, a ladder, and climb and increase his height, and reach a certain point at which he can no longer see the bottom of the canyon, and then what he would do is he would subtract that height from the combined height, and he would then know the depth of the canyon. The next example, Haroitze leida kama goyva shildekel, a person wants to know the height of a tree. Mode koimoso, first the person would measure his own height, vitsilo, and he would measure the length of the shadow cast by the tree, vitsel koimoso, and he would then measure the length of the shadow that he himself creates. What this would do would be create a ratio of height to shadow, having the knowledge of his own height and having the knowledge of the length of his shadow, that would create a height shadow ratio, and he also is able to measure the length of the shadow cast by the tree. So the only number that needs to be filled in is the height of the tree. But as a result of your knowing the ratio between your height and your shadow length, once you know the shadow length of the tree, so then you will know the height of the tree. And that's what this goes on to say. V'yeda kama gova shel dekel. He'll then know what the height of the dekel is. Horoitza shelotashri chaya ro betzel kever. Here there's an illustration in the Pirush Chai, illustration number 12. Just by word of introduction, let's say daybreak, the heat of the sun increases till noon, when the sun is probably at its hottest point. However, in the morning hours, there is a situation where when you're out in the sun, it's quite warm. It could be uncomfortably warm, but when you're in the shadow during that same hour, it is comfortable. With that knowledge, animals also react to the heat in the same way, that they will seek out shade. So, but what you don't want is to have some type of wild animal seeking its shade in the shade cast by your loved one's tombstone. So you want to avoid having a chaya settling in the shade of your beloved's tombstone. That will simply, tantalize the chaya to dig a bit and get the remains and eat the remains of one's beloved one. So you don't want the chaya hanging around the tombstone. You know that the chaya, the wild animal, will hang around the tombstone, being that it will benefit from the shade cast by the stone. So if you want to make it such that the chaya should not dwell in the shadow of your beloved's tombstone, so what the source goes on to say, let's read again from the beginning of this diamond. If you don't want the chaya ro to settle in the shade cast by the tombstone, no eitz kona bedalad amos b'yom. The bedalad shos b'yom, that means the person should wedge in a reed or a pole into the ground at the fourth hour of the day. The fourth hour of the day is the time of day when the sun is hot, but the shade at that same time is comfortable. So you would put and being that the shade is comfortable, that's the time of day that will attract animals to your beloved's tombstone. So what do you do? So the source says, your noyetz kona bedalashos, you wedge in a pole or a reed at the fourth hour of the day. That's bedalashos biyom v'yira lehechon silo not, and you can see then the direction that the shadow is cast, and then you go to the tombstone and mashpia v'ula mashpia v'yirei. From that side where the shadow is cast, you then fill up, and you can see this all is in the illustration. In the Pirush Chai, illustration 12. So then you would fill up the side of the tombstone where the shadow would be cast. You fill it up with cement and on a type of slant. As a result of that being filled up, so no shadow will be cast anymore in that direction, and thereby deter the chaya from settling there. Nechemya, this is a new incident, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, and we also indicate that this topic heading lasts till Mem Dalet Omid Beis. So it's a rather long topic. What we have written here is Mishiyotza Chutz L'Tchum, someone who left his Tchum, he went beyond the allowed walking distance. Pitaron l'chazorosoi al yidei mechitzas b'nei odom. We will introduce a possible solution for this person who left the tchum to make a wall of people, a human wall, around this person, and the edge or the end of the wall of human beings will be within this wanderer's original 2,000 amos. So once he's surrounded by a wall of people, he can then go back within his tchum. Let us turn to the Gemara. Nechemya Breid Rav Haniloi Meshachte Shmaitze. This Nechemya was so preoccupied with his Torah learning that it drew him. That's v'nofak chutz l'tchum, and of course this was it didn't happen on Shabbos or Yontif, and he was so immersed in his learning that he was drawn out of his tchum, not realizing that he just violated tchum. Omar le Rav Chisda l'Rav Nachman. Nechemya tamid choshori b'tzar. So Rav Chisda tells Rav Nachman that this Nechemya Breir Chanoloi is in trouble. Omar Loi, so Rav Nachman said, Asei lo mechitza shel b'nei odom v'yikones. Make a human wall surrounding him, surrounding this Talmud, and that will enable him to re-enter his original tchum. Yosef Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Achori de Rava, v'Yosef Rava Kamei de Rav Nachman. So you have in this, as the story unfolds, you have Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok sitting in back of Rava, and Rava sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Omar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok le Rava. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok addresses Rava and asks him, "Ma'ikom ibayalei le Rav Chisda? What is What is Rav Chisda's underlying issue, question? What's bothering Rav Chisda? After all, what did Rav Chisda do? He came and told Rav Nachman that your Talmud is in trouble. He's outside the Tchum. So what is Rav Chisda trying to accomplish with this news? So we have stages to answer this question. This is a long question. You can see it goes down the first three lines of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. So in trying to answer what is bothering Rav Chisda, so E Lema Bidamolu Gavri Askinon, if the human fence that will surround this person who unwittingly left his home is numerous enough in people that the fence will be complete. Molu Le Gavri means there are enough people around him that surround him, and the fence will touch his original tchum. Let's take a look at Rashi. With the Molu Gavri, Shahoyu lo anoshim harbe, there were a lot of people, Shicholim lotzei schutz l'tchum, that could leave this fellow's original tchum. Kigon she'ir v'lasus l'mechitza, mikan mechitza l'kan, mokam she'u sham ad hatchum. And there are enough people to surround him until the fellow's original tchum. So is that the case? That's b'demolu gavri. The markings that we see here are explained under our mivne heading, where the double underline highlights the Elema Ella words. These are different stages of analysis. And the diamond represents two efshorios, lovin ma nibaya le Rav Chisda, two possibilities in trying to figure out what was bothering Rav Chisda. What problem was Rav Chisda preoccupied when he introduced the story of Nehemiah, the student of Rav Nachman? So, in Lema, we read already, but the Molo Gavri Askinon. Molo means that people have filled up, the quotas of people is filled. So there are enough people to surround this wanderer who wandered outside his home and the fellow's original tchum. The Kamibayale, and what Rav Chisda is asking, Hilchasa Kerabon Gamliel. He wants to know whether the halacha follows Rabban Gamliel, that the mechitzas that were just made, the of humans around this person, and the chiddush would be that even though he was not shoves within this mechitza mibaod yom while it was still Friday, nevertheless it is effective. Would be effective in this case where someone had unwittingly wandered out and the fence formed around them would enable him to come back into his original tchum. And that would be a function of paskening like Rabban Gamliel. Shitas Rabban Gamliel holds that even mechitzas that you were not shoves behind me, but old yom, you could still walk within the entire enclosed area. The Gemara continues, Oy Dilma, or maybe Bidelo Molu Gavri Askinon. Maybe the scenario is where there aren't enough people to completely surround the wanderer. In other words, they surround him, and there is a diagram, by the way, in the Pirush Chai that highlights this. This you could see in diagram 13, where the people surrounding him don't touch the fellow's original tchum. There's a gap of two amos between the end of the people and the person's original tchum. So, and that this is what the question is. It's a case of lo molu gavri askinon v'komad bayale, and what Rav Chisda is asking about is halacha karebi Eliezer o ein halacha karebi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is found later on daf nun beis amid beis, and he says that someone who leaves his tchum if he left it by two amos and not more, he can come back in. There's a two amo cushion, so to speak. And the question that is bothering Rav Chisda then, according to this possibility, is it's the human fence made around the person who wandered out his tchum was not enough to actually touch the original tchum. And the being that there's a gap of two amos left, can he walk in because we would be paskening like Rabbi Elezer? Or maybe not. The Gemara responds and says, Pshita b'delo malu gavri askinan. In other words, it was not like you said in the question that there was a possibility of maybe Rav Chisda was not sure in the case of malu gavri. The Gemara here is saying that is not even a consideration, because it's obvious that we're dealing with a low molu gavri situation. The isaka daitoch with the molu gavri askinon, if it were a case where there were enough people to surround the wanderer and at the same time the fence of people touches upon the wanderer's original tum, my teboyale, then what room for asking a question would there even be? Ha'omar Rav halacha k'Rav Gamliel b'dir v'sar u'svina. We paskin like Rav Gamliel when the person is found within an enclosed area. He can walk the entire enclosed area. Being that that is something obvious and known, so Ella, the Gemara goes on, Ella vadai b'dalo molu gavri askinon. It's clear, like the base possibility above, that what Rav Chisda was wondering about was a case of the mechitza not being complete, not filling up till the original tum. Udu Rabbi Lezer kome bayale, and the issue of do we paskin like Rabbi Lezer or not was exactly that which was bothering Rav Chisda. Daika Nami, by further careful reading, we can show you that it's a case of lo molu gavri. Daika Nami de ka'omr le ikones. If we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of our text pointing to Mem Gimel Omid Beis, go back to Mem Gimel Omid Beis and find the corresponding arrow indicating Mem Dalam Aleph, and you'll see there that Rav Nachman had said, "Asay lo mechitza shel bnei adam v'kones." Make a wall of people around him, and then he shall enter. So, being that you saw the word "ikones," this shows us that my ikones lav below mechitza. Doesn't the word "ikones" imply enter without a mechitza? Namely, the mechitza that they made surrounding him didn't fill up literally to touch the original tum, as you can see in the illustrations in the Pirush Chai. So at this point in the Gemara, we're establishing that Rav Chisda was asking about a case of lo molu gavri, where the people surrounding him don't touch the original tum, and leaving a gap of two amos between the end of the human fence and the original tum. And the issue is, can a person walk those two amos that he was not surrounded and go back into his original tum? Now, you can see that we're holding already a number of lines down on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, and in the context of the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, so this would be a place to pause, even though we are literally in the middle of a discussion. But before we conclude our shir, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shir for today.